So there's Shir tonight is on the Parsha, which is Parsha Shlach. And tonight the Shir will be discussing the Mekoshesh. And the title of the Shir is Who Was the Mekoshesh? So tonight we're going to look at the Psukim, which deal with this aspect of the Parsha, and some of the Gadatas, the Gemaras on who actually was the Mekoshesh. It's very ambiguous from the Psukim themselves, as we'll see very soon. So if you look in source number one, if you have the sheets, it's Bamidbar Perek Tes Vav, and we'll just read through the Psukim, Pasuk Lamed Beis. First Pasuk says, Vayu B'nei Yisrael Bamidbar, Vayimtzu Ish Mekoshesh Eitzim B'yom HaShabbos. So B'nei Yisrael were in the desert, and they came upon a man who was gathering wood on Shabbos. Vayakribu Oso Motzim Oso Mekoshesh Eitzim El Moshe V'el Aharon V'el Kol Ha'ida. So those who found him gathering wood, they brought him to Moshe and Aaron, and to the whole nation. They put him in jail because they didn't know what exactly the halacha was. We'll see what that means. So Hashem says to Moshe that the proper din for this individual is to be stoned. So the whole nation, they took him out and they stoned him as Hashem had commanded Moshe. So the question that we're going to start the shir on is who was the Mekoshesh? The Torah only identifies him as a man. And normally I wouldn't ask this question, or normally without Mefarshim discussing it, you could just say the Torah that it's not important who the man was. But there are a lot of Gemaras and Mefarshim who try to understand who this person was, and will try to explain, once we know who he was, why it's so ambiguous. Why does the Torah hide his identity? So the question is, who was he? And once we know who he is, why did the Torah go about hiding his identity? So in order to try to answer those questions, I like to look at the Torah Tmima. He quotes the Gemaras on this Pasuk Lamed Beis, in source number 2. He says as follows, Vayamtziu, they came upon Melamed Shemina Moshe Shomrim Vayamtziu Oso Mekoshesh Vayimtziu Oso Mekoshesh. So the word Vayamtziu is a weird lashon, but it's indicating that Moshe had set up guards in order to protect Shabbos, to make sure that nobody violated Shabbos. So we can derive from this simple idea that obviously it was very deliberate on the part of this individual, because there were guards there, and aside from there being guards, we'll see later on that they warned the Mekoshesh, and he still went along, and he gathered wood. So we see from the first point that it was very deliberate. But the next Torah Tmima, the next line, is really what I want to focus on, which is Vayamtziu Ish Mekoshesh Eitzim. So Tanya, there's a braisa, Rabbi Akiva Omer Mekoshesh Zed Slavchad. So Rabbi Akiva says that who was this Mekoshesh? The Mekoshesh was Slavchad. Hold on one second. The Mekoshesh was Slavchad. And Menani Mili, who is Slavchad? So obviously Slavchad is known for his daughters. So Menani Mili, how do we know that it was Slavchad? Nemar Khan Vayu B'nei Yisrael B'Midbar Vayimtzu Ish Mekoshesh Etzim V'Nemar L'Holon Avinu Mes B'Midbar Malahalon Slavchad Av Khan Slavchad. So they learn out, we'll see what the limud is, but they learn out that the Mekoshesh, this hidden individual, this ambiguous individual, was really Slavchad. And Slavchad, of course, we know, is the father of all the daughter of all the women that requested Yerusha. And it says, as it says in the Psukim, it's a weird type of limud, Gzir Shava, but it says Bamidbar, by both in Bamidbar over here, and Bamidbar by Slavchad. But the question is, the question that we're going to focus the shir on is, okay, so it was Slavchad. So what is that idea? What's the concept of it being Slavchad? I mean, again, it's the same question as before. If the Gemara is indicating that it was Slavchad, why did the Torah hide it? And what's the significance of the fact that it was Slavchad? So one idea that you can give, I was thinking of, without looking at the Mefarshim, is that Slavchad himself he had daughters who were tzadikim, they were all righteous, and maybe the chiddush is that even though their father was an avaryan, nevertheless, the children turned out, despite the fact that the father was an avaryan, to be these perfected individuals. So maybe that's the idea. But I think there's more to be said on the concept that Slufchad was this individual who was gathering wood. And then finally, the last Torah Tmima, Vayimtzu Ish Mekosh Eitzim, Lamed Shematzu, Tolish Eitzim in Akarka. What was he doing? He wasn't just gathering wood, but he was pulling out trees and pulling out stuff from the ground, trees from the ground, and that was the violation over here. So the question, just, I know I continue to repeat myself, and I'm like a broken record here, but the question is, why does the Torah not say who it was, and what's the significance of it being Slufchad? So in order to answer these questions, I'm going to build a case here, like I normally do during my shiur, and we'll look at the Torah Tmima, and the Torah Tmima is very interesting. He says, and he quotes a Gemara that we'll look at. So in source number 3, he says, L'cha'ora enu mevu'ar tam gzeira shava. So at first glance, it's not clear what the reasoning of the gzeira shava is to learn out that it was Slufchad. D'mai shaychus michasam ze lezeh. What's the connection between this one and that one? V'yitachin lomar d'midayik b'shnei ha'inyonim yitor hamila b'midbar. So the answer is that the Torah did not have to write b'midbar, because it says in our pasuk, v'yu b'nei Yisrael b'midbar. So where else would they be? Of course they're in the midbar. So why does the Torah have to teach us midbar? And by Tzlofchad also it says midbar unnecessarily. So the idea is that it's trying to hint to the fact that Tzlofchad was this individual who was violating Shabbos. Okay, great. So let's keep going. So achar shedavar yaduahu shahiyu oz b'midbar b'derech masam. So that's his question, meaning why did it have to say b'midbar when we knew that the Jews were in the midbar? V'ya'an ki ze yadua ki haya bo chet miyuchad. So it was known that he had a specific chet, ukamasha kasev benosav ki bechato mes. So his daughters actually said when they approached Moshe and they asked for land, they said that our father died in his sin. Lachin darish al piyek zereshava b'midbar shecheto haya mekoshish etzim. So with the fact that the Benos Slufchad indicate that their father died in a special way because of his sin, and the fact that there's this zereshava, unnecessary word, they were able to piece it together, the Gemara, and show you that it was really Slufchad. Okay, but what's the philosophy? So it keeps going on. If you have it, it's source number 3 again. So he says, V'hine Isa b'Gemara. So he quotes the Gemara in Shabbos. Amar le Rav Yehuda ben Besera le Rabbi Akiva. So Rav Yehuda ben Besera said to Rabbi Akiva, Akiva, ben kach uven kach ata asid litenis adin. Whether or not it was Slufchad, this Mekoshesh, you are going to pay the price. She'im kidvarcha hu atorah kisiso ve'ata megalo oso. So if it's like you say, that really this collector of Eitzim, or this person who pulled out trees from the ground, is really Slufchad, so the Torah hid it for a reason, and you're revealing it, so you're going to pay the price, meaning eventually you're going to be done for doing this. You shouldn't have done this. And then it goes on and it says, V'im lav, if it's not Slufchad, harei ata motza laz al oso tzadik, then what you're doing is that you're defaming this tzaddik of Slufchad. So it's a machlokas in the Gemara. V'tzarach lomar b'dayti de Rabbi Kiva de svir le k'man de amar b'medrash rabba de mekoshesh l'shem shemayim niskavim. So how does Rabbi Akiva resolve that? The Gemara never says, but his answer is based on the Medrash Rabba. This is the Torah Tmima speaking. And the Medrash Rabba says that the mekoshesh, he really had a good intention. His intention was l'shem shemayim. What was it? Why was violating Shabbos in this way a good thing? Or what was his intention? Shahayu Yisrael Omrim Kevan Shenigzara Aleham Mimaisa Miraglim Shli Kansul Aretz Shuv in Mechuyavim B'mitzvos. So the Jews thought that after they were decreed upon that they couldn't go into Eretz Yisrael, that they wouldn't be chayv mitzvos. So it's a weird havamina. Amad v'chilo Shabbos k'deshi yahareg v'yiru acher b'yedu. So this guy decided to sacrifice himself, Slufchad, and he wanted to show Klal Yisrael that really mitzvos, you still have to keep the mitzvos, and you still get, I guess the fact that you get onshim, you get punished for the mitzvos, shows you that just because you're not going into Eretz Yisrael, you're still chayv mitzvos. It's a weird way to show people that lesson, violating Shabbos. But that was his intention. So this was Slufchad. So he's answering, the Torah Tmima is answering the question that Rabbi Yehuda ben Maaser is asking, which is that either way, whether it was Slufchad or not, I mean, whether if it was Slufchad, even if he is a tzaddik, apparently he was doing this for the right reason, but the Torah still hides this fact. So what is the, keep going in the Torah Tmima, and we'll come back to this. Uvigamar mefarish das Rav Yehuda ben Masira. So Rav Yehuda ben Masira argues that it was slavchad. Da afapi the Rav Akiva gamar gzera shava, even though he learns gzera shava, achu Rav Yehuda ben Masira lo kiva gzera shava zumarava. So he wouldn't accept this gzera shava. V'sfir le de in adam don gzera shava ma'atzmo, and he holds that you can't just make up a gzera shava. Uvidavar chet slavchad afapi dechsev mefurash kiva cheto meis. So the reason, the idea was that Slavchad wasn't really, even though it says Kibachet Mes, Slavchad was really one of the Ma'apilim. He was one of the individuals who went up after Moshe said that they can't go into Eretz Yisrael. So they were, he was one of the individuals that tried to go into Eretz Yisrael without Hashem's help. Okay, so just to summarize the Torah Tmima, he's saying that really Tzlavchad was this individual, and Rabbi Akiva maintains that it was Tzlavchad, and Rabbi Yehuda ben Masira was asking on Rabbi Akiva, what are you doing? If it's not Tzlavchad, then you're defaming this individual, and if it is Tzlavchad, why are you revealing it? So even if it were Tzlavchad, it wouldn't be a defamation, or if it wasn't, it wouldn't be a defamation, because there was some good here. There was a Shem Shamayim here. So the question, again, is, so why does the Torah conceal it? So one of the arguments Rabbi Yehuda ben Masira says is that the Torah intended to conceal the identity of Tzlavchad, but Rabbi Akiva is revealing the identity of Tzlavchad. So the question is, you know, what's the problem with revealing that it was Tzlavchad? And what's the idea of it hiding the fact that it was Tzlavchad? And what exactly was the philosophy of Tzlavchad here? He's not like a dumb guy. The Torah doesn't really teach us about people, you know, who are idiots. So the Torah is trying to teach us a lesson. So what exactly is the lesson that we can learn from Tzlavchad? That what was his philosophy? What was his approach? And why does the Torah conceal it? So let's just look at the Gemara itself, and then we'll keep going, and we'll look at some different shitas, and we'll put it all together. So the Gemara in Shabbos itself is in source number 4. If you have the sheets. So the Gemara says, if anybody has any questions, again, just like stop me, ask anything. If it's not clear, you know, just ask and I'll go over it again. Okay? So the Gemara in source number 4 is Sadi Vavam Abez. It says, Tana Rabbanan, Mekoshesh Zed Slavchad. Who was the Mekoshesh? It was Slavchad. Pretty open. No debate. Vachenu Omer, Vayu B'nei Yishal B'midbar, Vayamtsu Ish, Ulohalanu Omer, Avinu Meis B'midbar, Malohalan Slavchad, Afkan Slavchad. So over there is Slavchad, here too is Slavchad. Divrei Rabbi Akiva. Amar lo Rabbi Yehuda ben Masira, Akiva, Bein kach uvein kach ata asid litenus adin. So whether it was Slavchad or not, so you're going to be judged for doing this. Im kidvarecha hatorach kisiso ve'ata megala oso. If it's like you said, that really it is Slavchad, but the Torah is trying to hide it, so why are you revealing it? V'im lav ata moti laz al oso tzadik. And if not, so then you're expressing, you're bad-mouthing this tzaddik. Ve'ela ha gamar gzera shava. So what do you do with the gzera shava? Gzera shava lo gamar. So gzera shava, you can't learn out. Ela mehecha hava, where was he from? Mi vayapilu hava. He was from the ma'apilim. So the Gemara is learning a little different than the Torah Tmima. The Gemara is learning that the Mekoshesh was one of the ma'apilim, one of the individuals, I think, who was involved in going back to Eretz Yisrael. The Torah Tmima was saying that Tzlavchad was one of the Ma'apilim, but it sounds like from the Gemara, there's no Rashi on the Gemara, but it says, El Mehecha Hava, where was he from? Meaning the Mekoshesh. I would think he's saying, Mivaya Pilu Hava, that it was from the Ma'apilim. That was how I was learning it. Different than the Torah Tmima. So there seems to be two opinions here. I think one opinion is that it was Tzlavchad, and the other opinion is that this Mekoshesh was not Tzlavchad, and rather it was one of the Ma'apilim. So, what exactly are the two sides here? That's a question, okay? All right, so let's go on a couple more points. Any questions up to this point? Anybody? Anybody have anything that they want to add? All right, great. Leslie, you want to say something? Nope, okay. We're good. All right. So what's interesting also is that there's another point here. In source number 5, the daf al daf on Shabbos, daf tzadi vav amud beis. So he's he's like the Masifta kind of. So he says that uvisifri amar shama amri shamai kasav inyan nechbad v'hashat Torah kisasa shema. So in the Sifri, it says in the name of Shammai that there's an interesting, pleasing idea as to why the Torah hides the name. Al pi masha amru chazal, dehamoser atmo al divrei Torah, ein omrim dvar halacha bishma. Somebody who gives up their life, gives themselves up over Torah, ein omrim dvar halacha bishma, you don't say the dvar halacha in his name. So someone, I guess, who gives himself up, like in this case where he died and he almost killed himself because he violated the Torah, so you don't mention a Dvar Halacha Bishmo. Upirish Asif Seh Tzadik B'Shem HaChidushei Arim Zatzal, Dahainu Kevan Shenaseh Gufo Torah Ayin Shom, since he's making his body the Torah, I guess that in itself is an indication of what the law is. Ulfi Zeh Asi Shapir, Dechevan Damakoshesh Masar Atmo Divrei Torah, Kemoshe Hevi Betirgum Yonason, Khan, the Haisa Kavanasu L'Shem Shamayim. So since he gave up himself for Torah, because his Kavana was L'Shem Shamayim, Lachain, Ena Torah Megale, V'Choseveh Shemo. So the Torah didn't reveal his name. So what is that concept? So that's another concept. And he quotes the Kesser, sorry, the Tirgum Yonason. So let's look at the Tirgum Yonason and we'll try to ask that question again. Look at source number 6. It says, Vayu b'nei Yisrael shochnim b'midbar. This is the Kesser Yonason, so it's on the Tirgum. Vayu b'nei Yisrael shochnim b'midbar gzeras Shabbos noda lahem. So they knew about Shabbos. Acha onesh shel Shabbos lo noda lahem. They didn't know the onesh. Kam ish mishal beis Yosef. So somebody from beis Yosef, hint hint, slavchad, came up. Amar b'ma'amaro elech ve'elosh etzim b'yom shel Shabbos. So he said that I'm going to violate Shabbos. The Yiru Osi Edim Yagidu L'Moshe. So the Edim will see, and they'll tell Moshe, Moshe Yispa Talmud Min Lefnei Hashem. So Moshe's going to ask for what the Misa is. The Yishbetu Osi. And then they'll judge me. Uvechach Yodea Onesh L'chol Beis Yisrael. Now everybody in Klal Yisrael will know the Onesh for Shabbos is Misa. Umatu Edim Esa Ish Kasher Tolesh V'Akar Etim B'Yom Shel Shabbos. So the Tirgum Yonason, he says that the intention, as opposed to the Torah Tmima, the intention of this individual, of Tzlochad, was really L'Shem Shemayim, similar, but it was a different intent. The intent was that he was trying to, initiate the conversation between Moshe and Hashem to find out what the din is, what the onish is for violating Shabbos. And the way he was going to do that was by violating Shabbos and getting killed himself. But there's a concept before that the Sifri mentions that the Torah is not going to, or the halacha doesn't go, or is not mentioned the name of the person who's Moser Atzmil, who gives up his life for Al-Divrei Torah, for the Torah. And this is a case where he gave up his life for the Torah because he really had a good intention. So therefore, the Torah had hidden it. But the question is this really a good thing, or is this a bad thing? Is what Safra did really appropriate or not? It sounds like not really, because the Torah doesn't highlight the fact that it was a good thing. So what exactly is going on? So right now, just to summarize, we have two approaches. Well, the first point is that Safchad was this guy, this Mekoshesh, and there's two approaches as to what his intent was. One was the approach of the Torah Tmima, that his intent was that he should show Klal Yisrael that they're still chayv and mitzvos. And the way he was going to do that was by violating Shabbos and getting killed. So when the Jewish people saw that you're chayev misa, when you violate the Torah, they'll see that you're still chayev to keep the Torah. The other approach is based on this Sifri and this Tirgum, Yonason, is that his intent was that he wanted, because we know that, we'll see that Moshe didn't know what the halacha was. That's why he was placed in jail as to what the misa was. And he wanted everyone to know what the halacha was. He wanted Moshe to find out. So he decided to violate Shabbos in order that everyone know this halacha. But we have an idea that his name shouldn't be mentioned. So in this situation, like, why not again? And is this really a good approach? Is Slavchad's approach a good approach? So one other point We're almost to the first idea, the first concept. Hopefully the suspense is building. So if you look in the set in source number 7, the Sifri says Vayinichu Oso Lo Nichu Eitzel Mekalel. So they didn't put him by the Mekalel with the Mekalel. So he got a single cell. He wasn't in a joint cell with the Mekalel. But Mishmar Beis Hasurim Kilo Forosh Mayaselo. So they put him in this jail cell because they didn't know what to do with him. Melame Chaya Moshe Yodea Shayachay Misa Avaloya Yodea Bameh Misasa. So Moshe knew that he was Chayav Misa, but he did not know what his Misa would be. Okay, so Rabbi Lazar Rav Shimon Omer Loya Moshe Yodea Shu Chayav Misa Loya Dem Bameh Hi Misaso Shemichuvas Hadavar Atalimid Vayomer Hashem Al Moshe Mosu Masa Ish Chayav Hu Misa Bameh Hu Misaso Amru Biskila. So there's a machlokes in the Sifri whether Moshe knew that he was Chayav Misa or wasn't sure, or whether it was just a question of what type of Misa. But either way, the Sifri is bolstering the concept that this Mekoshesh was the source of this halacha coming out. But the Torah doesn't give him credit for it. And the question again is, was this really the appropriate approach to trying to get this halacha out? It's a weird philosophy that Slavchad had. So can we understand both of those approaches? Can we understand what exactly the Torah is doing, what the flaw was, perhaps, and why the Torah is concealing it, concealing who it was? So one other point, last point, the Medrash just has another idea, kind of separate, but I just want to bring it in because we're doing this anyway. So the Medrash says, "Vayimtu ish mekoshesh etzim mi hayazeh yad Slavchad ben Chefer." So the Medrash says it was Slavchad. The Yish Omrim Kimish Amar Shehut Slavchad Asid Li Tainis Adin Ki Atorah Kisasa Allah Velo Zachar Mihu Vezeh Baal Megala. So he quotes the Gemara and says that whoever revealed that it was Slavchad is really going to pay the price because the Torah tried to conceal it. And this guy revealed it. Dover Acher. So another approach is Lama Nisbucha Parshas Mekoshesh LeParshat Tzitzis. So another idea here is why was the Mekoshesh placed next to the Parsha of Tzitzis? When Hashem said that the Mekoshesh is Chayav Misa, Amar Moshe lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono Shel Olam, Ein Lo Pesha B'Davar Zeh, he wasn't at fault. Shema Yabedaito Shlo Yishkach Es HaShabbos V'Lishmar Mitzvah Shu Yom HaShabbos V'Eino Nose Tefillin Olav. Maybe he forgot, and he wasn't wearing tefillin, because we don't wear tefillin on Shabbos. That was Moshe's argument. Lefi She'ein Chayavim B'Tefillin. He's not really at fault because perhaps he forgot. So Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu Moshe Kfar Hasrubo. So Hashem says to Moshe, he's already been warned. Shenemar Vayamtziu V'Amru Lo Shabbos V'Lo Shama V'Lachim L'Chuyav Skila, and therefore he's Chayav in Skila because he really was warned and he definitely knew that it was wrong. L'Masha Amar She'Ena Lo Vesh Tefillin Ani Atzave Levanai B'Mitzvah Shechayav L'Isate B'Titzah B'Shabbos. And Hashem said, you're right, they should have a reminder, even on Shabbos. And then he decreed, Tzitzis, V'aziyah maskir mitzvah Shabbos, k'moshen emar, l'schartem eskol mitzvah Hashem. So another idea that emerges is that this story of Mekoshesh was really the source for Tzitzis, because Moshe was saying that perhaps he didn't have enough reminders, even though that wasn't the case. But nevertheless, Hashem saw the need for a reminder. And therefore, maybe that, according to this Medrash, the reason why it's concealed is because there was somewhat, even though he knew it was wrong, he lacked this ability to remind himself through the tzitzis. So maybe that's why, to show you that he wasn't completely at fault, the Torah doesn't want to isolate him at the Rasha, because there was some aspect of Torah that he was lacking in terms of tzitzis. He didn't have that reminder. But the questions still remain, so I want to try to answer the questions that we started with. Before I answer the questions, does anybody have an approach as to either the idea that it was L'Shem Shemayim, or the idea that it wasn't L'Shem Shemayim, either it was L'Shem Shemayim because he wanted to show the Jewish people that they're still chayav in mitzvos, or the idea was that it was L'Shem Shemayim to show them that the halacha is Misa. So those are the two approaches. So what exactly is the flaw of Slavchad? Why did the Torah conceal it? Those are the questions. Okay? Any possibilities? If not,
I just had a question.
Yeah, sure. So, go ahead.
Just about how the system of Torah was going to be, the levels were going to be developed. Wasn't it all going to be at some point?
The Torah? What did you say?
Yeah, like the system of halakha.
Yeah. That's, yeah. Yeah, I think it was developed. Yeah, I think there's a machlokas whether, I mean, I think it was developed as their needs, to meet their needs. Yeah, definitely. Is that a problem or like, is that a... No, your question is why didn't Moshe know about this halacha? I mean, what was he?
Why wouldn't the perpetrator think that eventually it wasn't going to be revealed anyway? So why did it need to come out, and why exactly this, you know, Lies of Shabbat particularly? Why does he think he needs to do this to reveal?
Yeah, that's a good question. Okay, so we'll try to. I don't know if I can answer that, but hopefully maybe the svara that we give in this year will hopefully answer that. So let me just take up the first approach. The first approach is that his L'shem Shamayim was really for the purpose of teaching Klal Yisrael that they're still chayiv and mitzvos. But yet the Torah conceals that it was slavchad, and what kind of philosophy was it, and what was the flaw here that the Torah is trying to teach us, the Gemara is trying to teach us. So I thought it was interesting, in source number 9, the Rashi on that Pasuk is, Vayu b'nei Yisrael b'midbar vayimtziu. Beginusan shel Yisrael diber kasav. So the Torah is really revealing a genus, like a negative in Klal Yisrael. Shalosh shamru ala Shabbos rishona uvishniya bazeh v'chalala. So they only kept the first Shabbos. And then in the second Shabbos, they would have had two Shabboses in a row, but by the second Shabbos, this was the second Shabbos, they didn't keep it because of this Mekoshesh. So we see that this is a negative for Klal Yisrael. So what do we see about Slavchad? What exactly is going on here? So I think that the Torah is expressing the fact that what was the flaw here? What was Slavchad's philosophy? So Tzlovcha's philosophy was genuine, and his intent was genuine, like the Torah Tumimah says, that he wanted to teach Klal Yisrael an idea by example. And he thought that something where they would witness a death would have more of an impact on them emotionally, and it would really imprint on them this idea, this concept of keeping mitzvos. But what exactly is the flaw here? So maybe the idea is that Tzlovchad, on the one hand, he was trying to help Klal Yisrael, but on the other hand, he himself separated himself from Klal Yisrael as a leader, and he didn't view himself as part of Klal Yisrael. Because the fact that Rashi says, in that Rashi, it's really important, Rashi says that Klal Yisrael didn't keep two Shabboses because of him, so he's part of Klal Yisrael. He himself caused a genus in Klal Yisrael as a whole. So on the one hand, he was trying to help Klal Yisrael, but on the other hand, in doing so, he failed to recognize his own relationship to Klal Yisrael. And I think that the chiddush of the Torah over here is that a leader, Slavka was a tzaddik, he was a leader. And a leader, on the one hand, the leader has to be moser themselves. They have to give themselves up for Klal Yisrael. But on the other hand, they can't view themselves as outside or above Klal Yisrael. They have to view themselves as part of Klal Yisrael as well. And that's the flaw. Sometimes a leader fails to recognize their own place within the nation, that they're really a component of it as opposed to being above it. So perhaps that's the idea of Slavchad here, that Slavchad really failed to identify. On the one hand, he loved Klal Yisrael. He wanted to teach them this lesson. But on the other hand, as we see from Rashi, his failure was really a failure in Klal Yisrael. He caused a lack of, in fact, I think I gave a shiur on this in the past, but there's a famous Gemara that says that if the Jewish people kept two Shabboses, Mashiach would have come. So I'm not going to define that idea, but we see that this was a failure. The fact that he was a Mekoshesh was a failure for Klal Yisrael. So he didn't see that. He must have been lacking in his ability to see himself as really part of Klal Yisrael, as fundamental to Klal Yisrael. He saw himself as an influencer, but not someone who could himself impact Klal Yisrael. So as a leader, I think that's the chiddush. As a leader, the leader, on the one hand, has to recognize his responsibility to Klal Yisrael, but on the other hand, he can never view himself above Klal Yisrael. And maybe that's why the Torah conceals his identity, because the idea is that his inability to identify with Klal Yisrael is such that it's an ego thing. It's like, I'm above them. I'm gonna give up my life for them, but I'm above them. And the concept is that he shouldn't get that recognition. He wanted that recognition. That was one of his motivations, being that he was a leader and he was trying to help Klal Yisrael. But on the other hand, he failed to see himself within and his role within Klal Yisrael and being a part of Klal Yisrael. So I think that's why, perhaps, according to that Shita, the Torah Tmima, who holds that the concept was that he was really L'shem Shamayim, in the sense that he wanted to show Klal Yisrael that they should do mitzvos. So his failure was that he was acting as a leader above the Klal, as opposed to a leader within the Klal. And by doing so, that's why his name was concealed, because he was looking for a certain recognition. He viewed himself as above, as separate, and the Torah is concealing it as like almost like a midah keneged midah to reflect the fact that's not the case. Okay, so one other point. So one other idea I wanted to say was... Wait. Yeah, go ahead.
I'm sorry. Just a question. I don't understand. So he knew he was going to get killed, and he wanted to demonstrate that idea? I mean, something's a little weird about that.
There is something weird about that. I don't know. I mean, I don't know. His philosophy was that that's what I'm saying. He was genuine, altruistic. That's what the Torah Tmima is saying. It is a weird type of philosophy that this is... Perhaps he thought that, like I said before, maybe he thought that the idea itself wouldn't be enough, like just teaching Klal Yisrael, but they needed to have like an emotional... Because after the Meraglim, they were so... It says Vayisabalu. After the Meraglim, they were in mourning. So maybe it wouldn't work to just teach them without engaging them emotionally and shocking them. So maybe that was his philosophy, that they need to be shocked into this reality that they're still chayv and mitzvos. So perhaps that's the idea, that they needed this shocking revelation, and he was going to provide that for them. But on the other hand, like I said, he failed to consider the fact that his actions would actually prevent Klal Yisrael from reaching a certain perfection. So it was like a double-edged... It was in that sense, he was that was the flaw. It was like this: on the one hand, he really had the proper idea, and I think that explains it. He really had this idea that Klal Yisrael would not be able to accept this idea on just a purely intellectual level. They really had to be shocked. They needed some type of identification with him being killed, and only that would have that impact on him. But on the other hand, like I said, he failed, as we see from Rashi, to really fit in with Klal Yisrael, to see himself within Klal Yisrael.
But he martyrs himself, and his goal is to teach them that the laws still apply, even though they're basically abandoned of sorts.
Right.
And but what impact? Meaning, isn't that going to create a bigger conflict? They're seeing that this guy who's going out to try to teach him a principle and rule is now getting murder is not the right word.
Well, I'm assuming that they didn't know. I'm assuming they didn't know what his intention was. They didn't know his intention. He was getting killed for violating Shabbos in their mind. So, now we see that you're getting your Chayv Misa for Shabbos. Obviously, the mitzvahs are still very important, and the rules are pretty strict.
So he thought that being a martyr was worthwhile, meaning giving up his own life. But being a martyr, at the end of the day, Klal Yisrael, the rest of the generation, will at least get the benefit of Shmir Shabbos.
Right, right, exactly.
And it's worth the sacrifice for himself.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, that's what he held. That's what he maintained. But on the other hand, like I said, I think that's the chiddush, is that he was flawed in the sense that the Rashi says that because of his action, Klal Yisrael themselves lacked a reward. They were supposed to keep the two Shabbases, and they weren't able to. So on the one hand, as I said before, he was really altruistic. He really had good intentions. He wanted to be a martyr. He wanted to really have this impact on Klal Yisrael. But on the other hand, he failed to see the implications of his actions in terms of him being part of Klal Yisrael, within Klal Yisrael. So the other point is that the other possibility was that the other possibility was that he was trying to get this halacha out, that he really, it wasn't really for Klal Yisrael necessarily, but it was for the knowledge. He was so attached to the knowledge that he wanted to be the source of this halacha. He wanted to be credited with teaching this halacha because he was so attached. He was so attached to the concept of the onesh for Shabbos and the concept of onshim and he wanted Moshe to engage with Hashem. So what exactly is that? What's going on over there? What's the flaw? And we saw from the Sifri that a person who's Moser Atzmo LaTorah, the Torah doesn't mention their name. So what's going on here? So maybe this is somewhat similar, but maybe the idea was that really he was attached, as opposed to attaching himself to Klal Yisrael, he was attached to knowledge. And you see that he really wanted more knowledge. He wanted knowledge to be given, knowledge to be gained by Moshe Rabbeinu. But on the other hand, it seems like he wanted to be the source. So perhaps the idea that a person who's being Moser themselves in this situation, the idea was that his identity was concealed, because even though he was attached to knowledge, there was still an idea of his own credit being given. There was still an idea of his ego involved. It wasn't just pure attachment to knowledge. So that's why his identity is being concealed. Meaning, if his approach was that he wanted to die, or he wanted to violate Shabbos in order that this idea be expressed, and that Hashem speak to Moshe, and that Moshe gain this knowledge and disseminate it to Klal Yisrael, so obviously eventually this knowledge would be disseminated, because the Torah would teach what the Chi of Misa was and what type it was. But he was so attached to knowledge, that was what it means, L'shem Shemayim, that he was so attached to the knowledge that he wanted it to be given. He wanted this idea, these concepts, to be given by Hashem to Moshe. But on the other hand, the idea, can you guys hear me okay? Sorry, I just got a weird message.
Yeah.
Okay. On the other hand, the idea is that he wanted credit, because you see that, I think that's the idea of the Moser Atzmo, the Torah. Why isn't their name mentioned in this situation? So I think the idea is that on the one hand, he was attached to the knowledge, but on the other hand, there was some part of him that wanted to get the credit. So the Torah is teaching us that when you're attached to knowledge, you really have to remove the ego from that situation. And if your ego is involved, and he's going to an extreme here, but he could, if you're going to go to an extreme like this, you have to remove your ego from the situation. But because his ego is involved, so that's really the flaw here. And the fact is that the Torah refrains from revealing his name because that's what he wanted. He wanted the credit. It's like these people who are notorious there's a whole debate as to these people who go on these crazy shooting massacres. So there's a whole thing that they want to be recognized. They want to be seen as producing this. Obviously, that's a negative. And there's a whole debate whether they should conceal or reveal the identity, because if you conceal the identity, you're basically going against the whole intention of the person who is doing the massacre. So too over here, that on the one hand, Slavchad was attached to the knowledge and he was willing to give up his life in order to be or to bring knowledge into this world. But on the other hand, he wasn't able to remove himself from the knowledge. And because of that, that's why his identity wasn't revealed. I think that's why the Torah leaves it ambiguous, because as to not give in to the ultimate, the underlying desire for the credit, for the halacha. Okay, so I think that's the concept. I actually learned... go ahead.
How much less can an ego be involved than willing to be killed and get yourself killed?
I mean, you see with these people, the people who go on these massacres.
The suicide by police.
These guys, they're searching for the credit. They want to be notorious. They want to be these like they want
to
be known.
That's an unhealthy psyche that has nothing else to live for. So notoriety and existing by being, infamy,
right,
forever is one thing. But if his idea was that he wanted Klal Yisrael to be Karo Blasham and to have an insight, and he's willing to be Moser his own Moser Nafsho, where do you see his ego involved? It's hard to see. How do you even infer the fact that there is some egoistic flaw here?
Well, I'm kind of working backwards, so maybe that's a flawed approach, but I'm thinking, like, the fact that the Torah is concealing his identity is a mida k'neged mida, that he wants his, or it would be a good thing for his identity to be revealed, on the part of him, like there was some desire there, and the Torah's concealment of it is almost like a mida k'neged mida. So in what sense would it be a mida k'neged mida? So the only way I could fathom it is that perhaps, even though he was attached to the knowledge, the fact is that there was some desire for credit, you know, for the credit. And that's why he wasn't. But you can say the other way. That's the problem. It's not, you're asking a good question. I mean, you could say the other way. You could say the fact is that a person who's willing to give themselves up for Torah, so they really don't care about the credit. So maybe that's the idea. But meaning, I think that's what you're saying, Donnie, right? Meaning you don't see necessarily. Yeah. Meaning it could be the opposite. Maybe the idea is, you can go either way. You can say the idea is that his attachment to knowledge was pure, but he had somewhat of a flaw. I think the fact that the Torah doesn't really talk about it, or really it's really hidden, it shows you that there was some mistake here, there was some flawed thinking. But you can learn that, the way I'm learning it is the flaw was the ego, because the Torah conceals it. But the other way you can learn it is that really he was a Moser, and the reason why the Moser himself doesn't need credit is because the Moser, a person who's willing to give up their lives, really doesn't care about the self. And they really have no ego involved. And the Torah, therefore, is almost highlighting this idea of being Moser yourself as having no ego. But if you learn it that way, then you're saying that it's really a perfection. It was a good thing that he killed himself, that he caused his own death. So
what was the Hava meaning he was addressing, that the halacha supply?
That which halacha? Oh, he knew that he was going to be Chayav Misa. He just wanted...
No, I'm saying so. But what was he trying to teach? What Hava, you know, of Klal Yisrael did he feel the need to undermine or refute?
Oh, I don't think it was for Klal Yisrael. I think it was for the knowledge per se. Meaning he wanted the knowledge to be taught, to be given. He wasn't trying to... That's the first approach. The first approach is that their Hava Mina was that they're not Chayav Mitzvahs. The second approach is that he wanted the knowledge of what the Chiyav for and the Onesh of Shabbos. He wanted that to be given, and he wanted to be the source for that knowledge. He wanted to be almost like recognizing the Torah. That's the way I'm learning it. He wanted to be recognized as the Torah as the source of this information, as the source of this knowledge. Just because he loves.
This is after the Meraglim?
Yeah.
This is after the Meraglim, right?
Yeah.
This is after the Gemara did. So they're already damned, so to say, to die in the Midrash.
Yeah, yeah. But
so maybe this was the different. Yeah. So maybe that's it's a different emotion. Is now he has a legacy, or he hoped to have a legacy, versus just being one of the anonymous.
Right, right. So that's generation. That's like the infamy idea. Yes, yeah. So that's what I was. That was the first way I was trying to go. That really, but you're explaining it well. You're saying that after the Meraglim, when you're stuck in the desert with everybody else, you want some type of recognition. You want to be. You don't just want to be a nobody, because you know that you don't have an end in Eretz Yisrael. So therefore you. You do something crazy like this. But the Torah is saying in this situation, we're not going to give in to the desire that you really want, which is the notoriety. So the next part, so I was learning the Gemara against the Torah Tmimah, but I think the pshat of the Gemara really is that Safchad was one of the Ma'apilim. He wasn't really the Mekoshesh. But we're kind of out of time here, so maybe a different shir will go through that concept. Okay? So everyone, any other questions? Hopefully it's clear. Thanks a lot, Donnie. Thank you.
All right, thank you.